Here's a tip for Christmas and the season of cheer. Why not blow up your credit card? Some tips in a minute. And to test your mathematical prowess with what's left of your brain, if a temple is built in 50 BC and burns down 75 years later, what is the date of its demise? You're on ABC Radio National and this is The Science Show. Hello, Robin Williams with yet another Science Show. And this is Barack Obama's designated energy secretary, a scientific superstar. Your main ambitions, what will you achieve, do you think, in your wildest dreams?
Oh, we want to save the world. I think the energy problem is one of the most important problems that science and technology has to solve. Recently, in the last 5 years, there's essentially no news that is good news. It's become very compelling that climate is not only warming up on average, but that humans caused it. The projections going forward are getting more and more dire. They are so scary that you have to sit up and take notes. So this is really risk management. Let me give you one example. Recently, in the Proceedings of the National Academy, it's a very distinguished journal in the United States, they took two climate models that bracket most of the climate models we have, and they applied them to California. And they found in the least alarmist climate model, the amount of Sierra snowpack in this century will decrease from 30 to 70%, and the alpine forest will decrease by a factor two or three. In the most alarmist model, it goes from 70 to 93%. Well, California can't even sustain a 20% decrease in snowpack. When we have a 20% decrease in snowpack 2 years in a row, our lawns die because it's water rationing. That's 20%. So let's take the middle bracket, 30 to 70%, say 50% decrease of average snowpack in California in the least alarmist model. That's a disaster, okay? That is an unmitigated disaster. At 50, 80%, this is going to be migration out of California. Forget about drinking water. Forget about agriculture. Forget about the ski season. Okay, so wouldn't it be prudent risk management to do something about this? Not only that, it's not just California's problem. The Himalayas are melting more than a meter per year on average. The Himalayas supply rivers, the Ganges, the Yellow River, so about 10 major river basins. They are partial supply to about half the people of the world. Already, China is facing northern China droughts over the last 10 years, and the projections are, as the Himalayas melt, this slow, steady source of water will go away. So what you get, just like in California, you have rainy seasons and dry seasons. So you get floods in the rainy seasons and then drought. Okay? The glaciers and snowpack and forests are wonderful natural storage systems. Climate change will disrupt that massively. So this is kind of what the world is facing. So this is a problem.
Dr. Stephen Chu won the Nobel Prize in 1997, and he's the director of the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. As the president-elect's energy secretary, he can be expected to take this kind of approach to policy.
If you had an electric plug-in hybrid, how much would it cost to plug that car in, run around for 100 miles? It's something at the level of one quarter the cost of filling up with gasoline. And electricity is pretty expensive compared to natural gas. If you heat your home with electricity versus natural gas, well, you shouldn't be heating your home with electricity because there's about a factor two or three difference. And so you go down this pecking order and you realize that putting energy into a gas tank is very costly. And in fact, the United States in 2005 spent roughly $250 billion importing fossil fuel into the United States. Let me put that in perspective. We had a deficit of $750 billion. It's a huge deficit. If you compare that to deficit, it's one-third. So the need to get an alternate supply of transportation fuel is very pressing, and it could help stabilize, if you will, a lot of the geopolitical situations that are going on. If you only had one source of transportation fuel, namely oil, you have a situation that we have today. If one can do that, one can project in the United States alone, including the bio waste, somewhere between one-third of all gasoline to all of all gasoline can be replaced by biomass grown in the United States on excess land. This does not mean mowing down forests and pristine forests. This is excess agricultural capacity. And so that's what gets everybody excited.
I just wondered, on a personal level, why did you turn from physics to this whole area of biofuels and energy?
Fundamentally, over the last 4 or 5 years, I became very concerned about the prospects of adverse climate change. If we don't figure out what to do soon, in the next couple of decades, we will be in deep trouble.
One of the ways to make an improvement is to stop people driving cars rather than finding them a substitute fuel.
I'm all in favor of raising the mileage standards of cars. I'm all in favor of making the public transportation suitable so that middle-class people in the United States will take it. But in public transportation in certain areas where the public transportation actually works, you get actually middle-class and even upper-class people taking it. You know, but transportation in the United States is about 27% of the energy consumption. 40% is in buildings, residential and commercial buildings. So in the answer to your question in transportation, the United States can easily get better by a factor of two and still go 0 to 60 in 8 seconds.
How do you know that the plans that you've got won't use up land that otherwise is used for growing food, in other words, for agriculture in the United States?
We're talking about excess agricultural capacity, land that's been taken out of cultivation in the last couple of decades. So the USDA lists about 58 million acres of land we pay farmers not to plant. So if you just begin with 15 million acres and plus bio waste, you are really talking a third to two-thirds to all of the gasoline, let me be more precise, used in the United States. So this is a problem. So at this point, I'm saying to myself, you know, if I can do something to help get people to acknowledge the problem and to inspire scientists to think about the problem, maybe I should be doing that.
President-elect Barack Obama's chosen energy secretary, Dr. Stephen Chu, speaking to me last year. He won the Nobel Prize for Physics and has a distinct sense of urgency about climate and green innovation. His selection was announced on Wednesday.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.